I'm Eric Allen for KLCC. The Mackenzie River has been at the heart of this region for far longer than the cities and the citizens its water nurtures. Its vitality will be celebrated on April 1st in the annual Mackenzie Memories event hosted by Mackenzie River Trust at Venue 252 in Eugene. Internationally renowned author Barry Lopez will reflect on the 46 years he's lived along the Upper Mackenzie, and storytellers Billy Ruth Rose and Doyle Hawks will tell tales of growing up there in the Fin Rock logging camp. Barry Lopez is here with me in the KLCC studios. Thanks for coming in, Barry.
I'm so glad to be here, Rex. Thanks.
Well, the Mackenzie River is a living being and a long-term friend of yours. So if you were going to think about the soul of this river, what comes to mind for you?
Its depth as a teacher. I have had the great privilege. I was, a wet behind the ears kid. I was 25 years old when I moved into the house I live in. And 46 years later, I go down to the river every day, and something new, something deeper, something broader opens up for me. So when I think of the river, I think of an animal that lives independent of human schemes and is a great teacher. All you have to do is listen.
And what kind of lessons has this teacher given you as primary bits of wisdom?
Well, a trouble that most of us have is the way our moods affect our work and our relationships with other people. You get in a bad mood, you snap at somebody, you regret it later, and we write that off as to that's what it means to be human, and you hope to be forgiven, and on you go. Well, the river is always on you go. And when you apprentice yourself to that river, it reinforces a kind of calmness in you, no matter what the weather is. If you saw your moods as weather passing through, I've been at the edge of that river in snowstorms, in windstorms, in tornadoes, I hate to tell you. Every kind of weather condition, high water and low. And the miracle, if you will, is it just keeps going. It absorbs everything. You know, I've watched the river in a rainstorm, and the pockets and the rises as the river rolls across an uneven bed, the pockets fill and the high points get hammered down. So in a heavy rainstorm, the surface of the river flattens out. So what that's telling you is adapt. When very bad stuff or disturbing stuff or challenging stuff comes along, it's foolish to fight it. Figure out how to adapt. And the idea behind the river, a gravity-driven animal, is to keep going. So I've got 46 years of keep going out of the river.
And when you've been keeping going for so long in one place, you not only see the land as it is, you see the land as it has been. And I think that gives you a different perspective on the land as it will be. So yes. What have you seen change, and where do you see it going?
46 years is nothing to live on the side of a river and see how it's changing the land. You can see the record of it. My house sits on an old bench, so who knows how many hundreds of years ago the river was over toward where the house is now. So it's cutting, 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 cutting down into that steep riverine valley where I live. But when I leave my house and the bench that the house is built on, I can cross the river at the Fin Rock Bridge and go on what we call locally Pond Road. And I see the surface there on Pond Road is the same surface on the other side of the river that the house sits on. So that tells me that once upon a time, the river probably flowed where my house now sits. And I'm on one of a series of benches that climb up north and climb up much steeper in the south of the river. I've found numerous pieces of worked obsidian around the house. That meant that people camped there and napped obsidian probably. They were up there in the summer at the upper Mackenzie River and went to the obsidian cliffs there, which are now inside the wilderness area, and took cores to work with out of there, and they camped where my house sits, maybe when the river was right there next to them.
In recent history, Finn Rock was host to a logging camp, which was as much of a community as it was a logging camp. What is important for people to remember about the history of that camp and its present tense?
The great thing about this moment with the Mackenzie River Trust and its cooperating partner, Roseboro Lumber, is that the effort to take care of the river is simultaneously an effort to take care of its human history. I think people are uncomfortable when the effort to preserve something eliminates people, as though we don't belong. The Finn Rock Camp was a camp for people working for Roseboro Lumber for many, many years. I don't know when it was started up, and frankly, even though I live there, I can't tell you when the last person, I know the last person who moved out, but I can't recall when it was. It was some years ago. So the Finn Rock Camp, the Finn Rock Bridge, and the Finn Rock Store, which when I moved to Finn Rock in 1970, I got my mail at the Finn Rock Store. And we were a small community. You could just write Barry Lopez, Finn Rock, Oregon. That's all you needed for an address. Now the post office people slap your hand. You know, you have to have a full street address and comply with more federal orders. But the Finn Rock Camp, these two gentlemen who are going to speak on Friday night before me, are going to give us a rich history of what it was like to live up there on the river in the 40s and 50s. And that's part of the history of the valley. It's part of Lane County's history. And it's also part of the history that gave the river its economic foundation. People wouldn't have gone up there to live unless there was something to do, to where you could buy food and put it on the table for your family. And so the little schools came along and people worked for the Forest Service. So it was a blue-collar community until probably 20 years ago, and this way of honoring the work and the people who did the work is right alongside the river is one thing that makes this acquisition and management that Mackenzie River Trust wants to undertake such a fine thing.
What do you see as your own role in the preservation here as you think about the legacy and the life that you've been leading and continue to lead there?
I don't think about myself, you know. I'll tell you, the thing I'm most eager to do is to work with the Mackenzie River Trust as a volunteer, like other people, to do the cleanup at the old Finn Rock Camp and to see what we can do about solving some issues where old gravel pits have filled in with water and they've become home to large populations of bass, which don't belong in the Mackenzie watershed. So there are a lot of small-scale issues that need to be addressed, and that's all handwork, and I want to be part of that. So my participation, I'm honored to be asked to speak on Friday night. I want to talk about the history of that river, not exactly from Folsom time. You know, there is evidence on the upper river of Folsom occupation 10,000 years ago. My memories don't go back that far. But I do want to evoke, if I can, the personality and the power and the regal nature, if you will, of that river that provides drinking water for Springfield and Eugene. And then I'll be just disappearing into the crowd like everybody else who wants to lend a hand up there.
One of the things that you've written about is a desire to contribute to a literature of hope. Mm-hmm. And how has the Mackenzie River helped you to do that?
You know, Eric, I don't know if I could explain this. I have had the great privilege in my life of traveling literally all over the world, almost 100 countries, and apprenticing myself to other cultures and trying to learn the things that I never received, even though I got a great education in this country. And so I have been taught, I think, by that river to inquire outside myself about what might be good for humanity and what might be good for the landscapes in which humanity finds itself. In some way, I want to say to you, I would like at the end of my life to say I had lived up to the expectations of that river.
Mm-hmm. And for the rest of us who will follow, not only you and me and the people who are alive now, but the generations to come, what do you think those expectations of the river are in terms of our caring for it and relating to it?
The river, if you'll let me speak metaphorically, understands that there's the Blue River Dam and the Carmen Smith Complex and Cougar Dam. So when I stand in front of my house, I can look at the river, but the river is not going to tell me what's going on in the upper end of the watershed, because the flow, meaning both the speed and the depth of the river, is determined by how much water is being released from those reservoirs. So in that way, the river has been compromised. But as I said earlier, what you feel standing next to the river is just keep going, work your way through it all. If you could imagine that the river had an expectation of us, it would be that we would behave better and that we would recognize at this point. The other day I was, like many people, watching video of passengers racing out of that waiting room and ticketing area in Brussels. And what I saw in that movement is the same thing I see with Syrian refugees running from trouble. And we know now, or if somebody is paying attention, they know that the Horn of Africa is a landscape of refugee camps running from ecological disaster, from warlords and internecine fighting and warfare between Arabs and Christians. We're living in a world more and more on the run. And if we're not paying attention figuratively and literally to the real elders, the rivers and the mountains, we're missing some wisdom. And, you know, my position, I think yours and that of many people who live in this area, is we have to be listening now more than ever before, because the level of responsibility is so high. Humanity's never been in the difficult position it's in now, purely speaking of biology. And in order to give ourselves a chance, which means answering the question, do you really care what happens to your grandchildren? If we want to say yes, we're going to have to stand by that river and say, in effect, what did we miss and what can you show us?
When you first arrived there, did you see the river in those profound and deep terms right away, or did it take a while to recognize your commitment to it?
It took a long while to wake up, you know. I mean, I think the first message that river gave me was, hey, wake up.
Wake up and keep going.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for all the waking up and continuing to go into contributing so much to literature in this region and to the preservation of the river that's at its lifeblood.
And this is my opportunity to thank you, Eric, for everything you do in this community to keep us awake and keep us aware. Thanks.
Well, thank you, too. Author Barry Lopez, who will speak of his decades of living along the Upper Mackenzie River as part of the 5th Annual Mackenzie Memories event presented by Mackenzie River Trust. It will be held at Venue 252 in Eugene on Friday evening, April 1st at 7 p.m. and will also include fireside chats by Billy Ruth Rose and Doyle Hawks, as well as rare historic photos, music, and more. For more information, mackenzieriver.org. And for more on Barry Lopez, barrylopez.com. For an extended version of this interview, visit klcc.org. For KLCC, I'm Eric Allen.